Saturday, July 4th, another perfect day. I was lazy until 10 o'clock when John and Nellie arrived and Merrill and Mary Connolly. And then Lennon and I hastily dressed. The men set off in one direction, and Nellie, Mary, and I in another. We drove around the ranch and to Lennon's birthplace, which is being reconstructed, with the loving thoughts of Roy White and the good hands of Mr. Wyrick. Nellie is so happy about her house down on the ranch. It had been a bad thing for her to sell the house in Fort Worth and realize that she only had what she described as a temporary lease on an antebellum mansion with bad plumbing. That is, the governor's mansion in Austin. She'd felt alone and bereft, and now they are building a house down at Floresville. It's just about the nicest thing that's ever happened to her. Nellie was so happy and gay, the Nellie I remembered from a long time ago. There have been some shadows and troubles in between. We talked about living in the country and spring, and she said that she wondered if she'd ever had her eyes open really before, or if the world was so much prettier this year. She described all the wildflowers that bloom between Austin and Floresville. We went to the Lewis by helicopter, so we wouldn't be followed by all our friends of the press, and incidentally, when we woke up this morning, the first thing we were greeted with were pictures in every paper of the boat. They must have been with us every moment, because sometimes Lennon is in his khakis with his cap on, and sometimes he's in his bathing trunks. Actually, the only thing to do is to get used to it and like it. And then there was an hilarious piece about a summer White House is found in Texas maze, that being the Haywood Ranch. Lawrence Stern said, "Dear boss, we're soaked, sunburned, and slightly seasick, but we haven't been able to catch up with President Johnson. At this writing, we've been in hot pursuit for half a day by automobile, by on foot, and finally by small motorboat through the pounding surf of the Llano and Colorado rivers. We're not cut out for president hunting, especially in burr and cactus-infested central Texas, where Mr. Johnson is certainly the master of the terrain." Then they went on to say how they'd found the rambling, comfortable hideaway tucked behind a bend of the Llano River some 50 miles west of Austin. That is the Llano Ranch House. Now, a 16-year-old high school sophomore had taken them out on a outboard motorboat in search of Lennon and had confided that Lennon was a good water skier. "I saw him out on skis last year, and he's pretty good at it." George Reedy said, "The president? Water skiing?" Anyway, that's pretty much it. Except if it's going to be like this for another 4 years, we're going to need a bigger outboard motor. Poor man. I only wish he'd enjoyed the day as much as I did. At the Lewis, Nellie and Mary and I rode around together while the men went in another car. We drove all over the Logan. And it's a more beautiful ranch than I had believed. It's been pretty well cleared by now. The bulldozer's been in there taking out the cedar. Roads have been built. It's very scenic. Added to the Lewis, it will make a good ranch of 1,800 acres to leave to one of the girls. The other one, hopefully, will get the Scharnhorst. We drove for a long time, and then we talked to the others on the phone and said we were going to return to the house. Arriving there, found no key, but were able happily to break through a window and rocked cheerfully on the porch until the men rode up. It's the sort of place where you'd expect Marshall Dillon to come riding up, so delightfully in keeping with the country. And then back to the ranch, where the Thornberrys and the Eichards had arrived. And we had a good lunch of ham from the ranch, and beets also. Then, after lunch, in the living room, the real important session of the day, a long talk about the coming convention. We discussed the vice presidency. Two of us there were for McCarthy, the Thornberrys. Six were for McNamara, John and Nellie, Merrill and Mary Connolly, and the two Eichards. They pretty much all agreed that Humphrey would be their third choice, although they have not forgotten the South's antipathy for him in, I think it was 52. No voice was raised for Shriver. We talked of Carl Albert for the keynoter of the parliamentarian. The feeling of those there is very positive, very negative, even bitter against Bobby Kennedy for the vice presidency. The most wonderful thing of all was to be with Nellie and John.